So I think we were all there on Tuesday when we introduced the purpose here. So I'll refrain from repeating that. And just go ahead and kick it off to Kai.
Yeah, thanks, Chris. So I created this command line interface. And if you follow the link that's on the today's meeting page, you can see it. It's on my GitHub account. And the purpose of this CLI was to create, initially it was a project on the sideline for myself, but I think it might actually be helpful in maybe replace the existing command line tools, because I think they suffer from a number of problems, particularly that they have inconsistent syntax and they only allow very limited amount of functionality. So there's a short tutorial on this page. You can read through. I don't know if some of you might already have checked it out. It's written in Groovy. You can build it, however, with Maven. It's a Maven project, and it will result in a jar that's executable. So you don't see anything from Groovy as a user. It's still very, very early in development, but I thought it might show it to you. So the committer group can give some input on I'm interested in your thoughts on it and how to proceed with that thing. There is also on the agenda page, there is another link with the overlap with a current core disputed scripts. And I've created a table. I think it's manager ready. So it does have a table comparing all the features that are currently there in the old or the existing command line interface and that are there in the new command line interface.
Yeah, I just saw that you had been working on this table. That's really helpful to get a sense of where the overlap is.
So I think there's quite a substantial overlap. The new CLI does have some focus points. One is I used it for a project where I needed to debug the REST API. And also have some get some basic performance data. So I baked that in. So the CLI can it records each method call to the REST API, and it can build a graph from that. It can either spit out the raw performance data, or it can build an image from it. Then there's wiretapping. This is a functionality that's provided by the Apache HTTP client. And it basically debugs everything that goes over a wire. So one can easily see what commands, what HTTP, what the HTTP protocol really does, all the low-level stuff. Also, there's a repeatable command line history. The CLI can either run in interactive mode or in non-interactive mode. Interactive mode is it behaves like a mini shell, and you can repeat commands by using the history function, and you can explore Fedora. It's a bit like explorative programming. So you can also use all of the Groovy, all of the capabilities that are, that's provided by Groovy. There is full access to the language. So that should help in building some custom out of repository workflows. Like, for example, you want to, simple one is, you want to search for certain types of objects or objects that contain a certain string. And for each of those objects, you want to do another operation like export them, migrate them, or what have you. This is also possible with the old currents, with the current CLI, but you have to rely on the environment you're working in, like the operating system, Bash in Unix or Linux, and the Windows shell. I don't know.
So that's pretty interesting. This is the ability to use Groovy right from the tool basically means you can do more than just send it a list of a batch of commands to send to Fedora, but you can actually have some imperative code around that and conditionals and things, right?
Yes, exactly. The Groovy bridge is still a little bit brittle, but it can be improved on.
So has anybody else had a chance to check this out yet? Actually run it locally?
No, not run it. Only looking at the documentation page Kai put up.
So from seeing the documentation, I'd be interested in your thoughts and opinions about this.
Yeah.
My initial thoughts. Chris first.
Go ahead, Dasker.
Okay. My initial thoughts were that Bash gives you a lot of power, so it's a bit of a shame to lose out on that by having it create its own shell. But Groovy, which I don't know so very well, seems to give a lot of power, especially with the evil or evil command described in the bottom. So we don't seem to be losing that much. We just telling people that they should do their stuff in Groovy instead of in Bash.
Well, I wonder if it's either or. I mean, it seems like you can still use this, you know, run individual commands and get error responses from those using the tool, like you can with today's command line tools, right? Is that right,
yes.
Kai?
Yes, you can, yes.
Yeah.
So you're not prevented from using the Bash or the tools of the underlying operating system. It's just that you have this additional capability that should you need to explore it from the shell itself or from the command line interface itself, you can do so.
Another thought I had is the operations seem to be, even though you use the REST API, you seem to implement the operations as they're found in the real API, the SOAP API.
Most operations are from the REST API, and a couple of operations like describe or upload are from the Lite APIs.
So that's how they're implemented, but then
yeah.
I think Asger's talking about the syntax, right?
Yeah, I am. the REST API merges some of the SOAP functions in its own way.
Yes.
So
the syntax follows kind of its own.
So it's kind of an RPC style. I mean, I'm kind of curious too. I mean, I'm not sure what a REST style command line utility would look like exactly, but I'm curious if you thought about that at all, Kai. Just in terms of invoking things.
No, I was primarily concerned with building an easy way to enable users to supply parameters. I didn't give it that much thought, however.
In this shell, you're able to do stuff that's not Fedora related as well.
Yes.
So you could say call this method and return and store all of the return in an array that you're then doing something with, and then you understand what I mean.
Yes, you can build some collections in Groovy, as you say, and then operate on each of them, and for each item in the collection, call some method of the REST API. So the methods of all the commands of the REST API are baked in so that it seems like they are Groovy methods.
Mm. Well, I say go for it. I think we should replace the existing one with this. It seems nicer.
I've got a question about the script. There's several things to say. They're scriptable. What's the scripting language?
The scripting language is Groovy.
So in terms of using the built-in script function, the EVL command, but then there's also, I guess, when I was thinking of this being scriptable, I was also thinking more along the lines of shell scripts and things, that it's also possible if you want to just use this for an entry point to run Fedora API commands. You could, you know, write your sort of imperative code in shell script and then just call out to this. I guess the advantage I see with putting it all in one, like writing it in Groovy and saving it that way, is that you don't have to start up the JVM every time you make a call to Fedora, which you do today with the command line scripts. So you have an opportunity to do things more efficiently via EVL.
Yes, each command is. You can call the CLI in interactive or non-interactive mode, really the same way. So the same commands you use in the shell interactive mode, you can use in non-interactive mode. You can build normal scripts with them. So they pretty much operate like the existing tools, except that I've tried to unify the syntax.
So I the topic hasn't come up about the fact that this is written in Groovy. I mean, one implication of taking anything on into the core is that it becomes ultimately a maintenance responsibility of the committers. So I'm reminded of the discussion we had a couple weeks ago when I was mentioning the fact that the stuff that Rick had done was in Jython and Python. And I remember at the time there was some concern raised about about having Python code in the core that might be make it more difficult to have committers who know both languages. This is in Groovy, which is arguably more Java-like than Python. So I was kind of curious about reactions that anybody had around the fact that, this would mean we do have some, down the line, if we roll this into core, that we would have some Groovy code to be maintaining. Looking at the source code, I can actually, I'll send a link real quick because I just browsed down to it. But here's an example of the code for people who aren't familiar with Groovy. So just looking at it, to me, there are clearly some syntactic shortcuts that it introduces that in order to maintain it, people would need to get familiar with. On the other hand, the flip side is you can do a lot more with a lot less typing, ultimately. So any reactions to the fact that it is in Groovy and what that means for maintenance?
I think I didn't have the bigger picture on when I said I liked it beforehand. But that's partly because it was Kai who developed it, and Kai is a developer.
Yeah.
Vic is not a it's not a committer as far as I know, is he?
Not right now, no.
Having one committer do this is sort of assurance that it will be maintained, but it's not a perfect assurance, of course.
We have the fact that we have a built-in person who's willing to maintain it at least for a short period of time. Of course, it'd be nice to have the redundancy. I see Eddie has a comment. Eddie, is your audio working?
Yeah, sorry, I was muted.
Oh, okay. So you said it's for a different purpose, but I know folks have made use of Active Fedora in console mode as well. Okay, so there's a similar thing that's been done there. So what are your thoughts, Eddie?
Personally, I don't see myself picking up Groovy anytime soon, but then it also doesn't look like, for any of us to be able to sort of grok it and do sort of minor maintenance, that's really much of a hurdle. And frankly, in terms of maintenance, I'd rather maintain something, without having really looked at the code, but nevertheless, my intuition is I'd rather maintain something like what Kai's built than maintain our current set of, batch files plus shell scripts. And that's just from the maintenance side, let alone just the convenience of having this all in the CLI tool. I don't know if there's sort of, are we pitting this question against some other kind of, alternative where it's if you could have a pure Java CLI tool, that would be preferable?
I don't think so. It is really a comparison between where we're at with the existing tools and is the concern about maintaining Groovy high enough to, to think about doing this differently, or because clearly this, although there's a couple areas that Kai noted in his comparison, clearly this is a extends quite well on the functionality provided by the existing command line tools, and could, I think has quite a lot of potential for people to be able to do some batch, working with Fedora repositories in batch. So, you know.
I mean, you know, like I feel like from a maintenance perspective, so if there's basically, if we can basically get in enough test coverage so that when we do things like, I mean, because the only thing that I assume would really be a risk in terms of breaking this tool would be, you know, when we make API changes, right? So, I mean, you know, as long as we've got some kind of testing to cover this during those scenarios, then, you know, that's far and above even better than what we have with our shell script testing, I think.
Yeah,
so,
that's true.
So we need a real coverage.
So I noticed in the POM file, Kai, that you're using something called the Gmaven plugin. And I was just wondering, that's the one place where I saw reference to test, but maybe that was totally separate. Is there a unit test framework that could be employed to do clearly we'd have to come up with a way to have integration style tests like we do today, swap those out, the command line utility tests, but then there's potential here to do possibly unit level tests. I don't know what the prevailing method is in Groovy, but have you thought about that at all?
Yes, there are a couple of unit testing frameworks for Groovy, and the ones that I've tried, they really work well, so this isn't a problem. I've just not done any testing, any unit tests so far, but clearly they need to be done.
I was just doing a rough count of lines of code here. I don't know exactly where we're at with what the existing command line utilities entail, but clearly there's some batch script components, and then there's some Java. There's stuff in the orgfc repo client package that support the existing command line utilities, which, it seems like because the size or the ability to abbreviate stuff pretty well exists in Groovy, this is looks like around 2,000 lines of code to do this whole thing, versus I think where we're at today with the other stuff, which is my guess is it's considerably higher. But I agree with Eddie's statement about this seeming like it would be actually, even though the language is different, simpler to maintain than where we're at today.
There are a few quirks about the Groovy language. It's just a couple of idioms you have to know. But apart from that, it's really very similar to Java. If you have some knowledge of other imperative scripting languages like Python or Ruby, it's, in my opinion, it's really easy to get started with Groovy. So I don't think that the maintenance burden is too high.
About the maintenance burden, this is not the first in a long series of interfaces to Fedora. Perhaps we should consider moving the non-server-based interfaces out of the core distribution and mega distribution or area for those. And say the core distribution provides a REST and a SOAP interface, and that's that.
And make this like a separate download, but still officially supported, but just a separate distribution.
Like the Java client that I might be working on, which we will find out later, and alternative other clients.
Well, certainly there's a lot of efforts out there to do various different kinds of clients with the Fedora repository. And I guess, you know, I wouldn't want to limit what people can do out there, contribute and maintain themselves, certainly, in the wild. I mean, there's, I think there's now like 4 different Python interfaces for Fedora. I don't know if people saw the one that was just announced last week, but I mean, on one hand, you know, there's the, it's hard if we don't have one that's officially maintained. It's just hard on users to make decisions about what to use. But I'm not sure we really have the bandwidth to be evaluating all of these. So I guess rolling it back, what I'm getting at is I think the approach of having external or separately distributed libraries that are still maintained by the, you know, the core committer team is a good approach, and that could open up the possibility to have, you know, different different sets of developers involved in those things too. But on the other hand, I'm wondering about the expectations, the out of box expectations. So there's always this tension of, you know, when you're out shopping for some utility or tool, do you have to mess with installing things separately, or do you want just a something that works, you know, you install it and you're sure that you already have this interface. So
that point is more about how we package the installer. And as we have been discussing a few times, moving away from Fedora as an installer instead of Fedora as a WAR file. It might we might give serious consideration. Still have to distribute the clients as separate projects or downloads or part of our major zip file.
Well, you could, but then the other, I mean, one of the things I think we've been talking about with the all-inclusive WAR is that it actually includes everything that's today comes out of box in Fedora Home in its resources. So when you plop that into your servlet container and make a decision on where it needs to deploy based on some system property or environment or whatever, it just automatically expands everything into some.
Yeah, you're right. That's what we considered. I never actually thought about the stuff that the server doesn't need, like the client. I just disregarded them totally in that discussion. But yeah, we said everything that's in Fedora Home.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm not a committer, but I have a comment here. invariably, the clients are going to get into a different cycle than the server, and they shouldn't be forced to be in the same cycle. So if improvements are made to a client that aren't depending on the server, they should be able to be released separately. And if you force everything into one big WAR file, then in order to get a change to one component, you have to get everything over again. And that's going to turn some people off, especially when they're worried about, I have a stable server and all I want is an update to this client.
Yeah.
That's my 2 cents.
Yeah, they would certainly be able to have separate release cycles, which there's an advantage to. I just keep coming back to, you know, the tension about wanting to have something that works without fussing too much with separate install steps. I mean, you know, I don't know. I guess I'd want to hear other opinions on this too. Eddie, do you have anything?
Well, I think, you know, Rick makes a good point about, you know, wanting the flexibility of having these, you know, be on different cycles. I think there's actually an interesting counterpoint to that, though, which is that depending on the actual attention that, you know, a particular module is getting, it may actually be that bundling everything together is what forces the stragglers along. I mean, I'm thinking of, for instance, things like our new web admin, where I think basically it doesn't get any attention anymore, right? I mean, and the only reason it's probably going to is because we're going to, you know, it's kind of forced along when we rev, you know, stuff on the server side. I mean, it's right there. It's sort of really hard to ignore.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it's like if you've got active committers on say, this CLI tool or any other client tool, I think, you know, you can definitely see the advantages of having it on, you know, faster, shorter, whatever, different cycles. On the other hand, if it doesn't, sort of keeping it where everyone sort of forcibly, you know, made to keep an eye on it actually helps it along. But, you know, so anyway, that was more of a tangential point. I was wondering, I think it'd be hard to separate it out in the sense that if we're doing this because we're going to have this supplant the existing command line tools, then, you know, there's the expectation that, well, that there's a replacement for it, and it's, you know, it's just a different thing to have it out there separately. I mean, I feel like that's basically most people are going to want it. You know, most people are going to want this along for the ride. And so are we basically forcing people to jump through an extra hoop that, by and large, you know, like 80% of people are not going to want to jump through? Or I guess I'm a little torn. I mean, I think right now I'm on to putting it all together.
Yeah. And this is also slightly different from a client library as well, because, I mean, this is more of a tool that people can expect to invoke, whereas a client library has a more limited audience. Whoever actually needs to write some higher level integration tool with Fedora. So I can see certainly client libraries possibly being distributed completely separately. Although, you know, there's plenty of examples out there where, like Oracle is one example where if you install the server, the client libraries or the JDBC drivers are actually available to you. They just don't make a big deal of it, but they are installed as part of that process. But you can also download them separately. That just speaks to the fact that if we want to have, I don't know that being able to support separate release cycles is totally contingent on whether or not you include it as part of the distribution. Because you could, I mean, I think one of the ideas we talked about with the web admin GUI also was that we do want to have the ability or the flexibility with it, with the way that it's built, to make sure that if we do need to issue an update to it, it doesn't require people to upgrade the entire Fedora server. Not that that's actually been done. I mean, we've never actually had realistically, we've never had enough attention on it to really justify doing an out of process or out of the main release cycle release. But it strikes me also that this discussion of whether to include client utilities in the distribution or not isn't really, I mean, it's relevant here, but it's not the argument would still be there if we continued today with the existing command line scripts. So it seems like the decision to take this on as a core maintenance responsibility can be separated from how the distribution actually occurs.
Well, and another point is, I mean, given, you know, since we've moved to Maven, I mean, we do have a lot more flexibility in revving different modules at this point, right? I mean, it's like, when there was that guy who was having a problem with the forgot the logging or something with one of the management classes or whatever, I mean, I was able to just push out, you know, a revved FC repo server for him and drop that in place. I mean, so, you know, we do have the ability to have individual modules go on a different cycle. I mean, it's a little, you know, I think from a consistency standpoint, when we do our sort of grand release, there's another sort of drive. But in terms of being able to do updates to a particular piece of Fedora now, I think we're actually in a lot better situation now than we were. One thing I was just noticing, though, I was gone for a couple minutes. I don't, maybe Kai or someone already mentioned this, but are there plans to include the rebuilder functionality?
You mean the new CLI?
In the new CLI, yeah.
Not yet, but it could be done. It could easily be done.
I mean, it's not there because you haven't had a need to do it, but I mean, it's not like there's some problem with doing it, right?
So it's very easy to hook in a new command. It is,
but there's a fairly significant difference between the rebuilder and the other tools. I mean, it's that most of the commands that work right now are interacting with the REST API, whereas the rebuilder, has to be sitting.
Yeah.
It has to hook into some Java code.
I also think the rebuilder is something that needs to move to highly parallel algorithms and different technologies in the future. It's at least from our point of view, it's really imperative that the rebuilder can work in parallel distributions.
Yeah. So you can run a few different threads and get things put together. Yeah.
I think that it wouldn't probably be the right place for this.
Although the rebuilder, it does kind of raise the interesting question for the rebuilder of also exposing it via a web API, which is a pretty, at least a UI or something that you can log into remotely would be nice too. I mean, that's what a lot of web-based tools do too, and they have some sort of repair function. You know, you click a button and then you get to check in on the status of what's happening. But one thing, I guess what you had in your comparison, Kai, a warning sign next to Fedora validate objects, and I was curious about what the issue is with that, because I think that one is a client side thing as well, right?
Yes. So the warning sign actually means not yet there. It's misplaced, I guess. So yeah, it's I haven't thought of it. I haven't had the need for it so far. But an XML parser is already in there, and it isn't a problem to validate anything.
But we have a sort of agreement or perhaps discussion about making validate an API function anyhow.
So, sorry, you were saying?
We have, as part of ECM, enhanced content models, we're probably going to make validate an API function.
Yeah.
Movie to the server.
So the other, there were several in your list, Kai, that had not hard-coded but easily doable. I was curious if with those you were really, by stating that, you were really saying this maybe isn't something that should be hard-coded but should be actually a script that calls other methods. I mean, because like those batch, certainly the batch build, like, the way that would work would be different. Ingest demos is really just a series of ingest. I mean, it's really just Fedora ingest applied to a directory that we know about.
Yes, that's what I'm referring to. There is no command Fedora minus ingest minus demos, but there is Fedora ingest, and you have to supply the directory and tell it that you want to ingest it recursively. That's the only difference.
How do you feel about the stability? I saw you had a little question mark there.
Yeah, as I was mentioning, it's still very much alpha. So this is, I have tried everything, but I don't know, there might be a lot of bugs still in there. And I don't have unit tests, I don't have integration tests. It's basically at a state where you can have a look at it. You can show it, but I wouldn't recommend it for productive use yet.
So you think it sounds like outside of the question of whether to include it in the distribution or not, people are okay with the idea of this being a part of what we produce when we do releases, or really what we maintain at least in this limited group. And I'm certainly comfortable with it as well, but then, you know, the question of timing comes up, and clearly this isn't a 3-4 thing, right?
Right. So the point for me was that for me, it was a logical point to stop development because if you don't use it in somewhere in the Fedora core or somewhere, for me it's sufficient for my needs. It has been sufficient. So if we would ship it along with Fedora, it would have to get a lot more attention to be. To gain the sense of confidence that it really, really works.
But could we, on the short term, still put it into the code base before we have that confidence, just exclude it from the installer?
We could.
Are there any concerns with that? Any downsides to doing that?
You mean moving it to the SVN repository? Incubator or?
So that would, that would function just fine.
Yes.
I was actually thinking the normal trunk where the normal clients live.
Yeah, that's what you just drop it in. You're someone just dropping it in as another Maven submodule.
Yeah.
That's what I assumed also. So we do have this precedent of putting things that are, you know, for the purpose of the main distribution, we consider them experimental in the code base, as long as we're not tying it in with the main build or distribution. So certainly doing that, one advantage to doing that is that it gives the other committers easier visibility and ability to tweak things as we move along, but I want to make sure, Kai, that you're comfortable with, or you know, really what your take is on that. By throwing it in, I think you're kind of making it a committer updated thing. I mean, I probably wouldn't touch it without talking with you, but
No, that's okay. My only concern is that I personally I won't have that much time to allocate because I'd really like to focus on the 3.4 release right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I doubt it will get much attention before the release. So I'm not sure if we should put it into the trunk now or maybe after the release when there's a little bit space, more space for that.
Yeah,
that comes down to how much time it takes to put it into the trunk, I think.
Yeah, I think there's a tool with a Git tool that allows you to import your change set into a subversion, or your change sets, your history into a subversion repository.
Yeah, there is. I've only used it the other way, but I mean, I've read that it goes back into subversion. You can do it back into subversion as well. So, I didn't really look at the POM. So, I mean, the only other thing I would think of as far as issues for dropping in the trunk would be around dependencies, but it looks like a pretty short list. Yeah,
there's a number of implicit or transitive dependencies that originate from Groovy, but it's not that big either.
So, let's see. I guess the only other technical thing would be the license and copyright stuff. I think we'd want to have the copyright be copyright DuraSpace, and the license already looks compatible. But
yeah, sure.
If you're comfortable with putting it in, the sense I'm getting is that everybody's comfortable with working this into a future release and treating it as experimental for now, and probably not actually doing swapping it out for the existing command line utilities until we can get some of those final differences resolved.
I'm comfortable with having it live the same place as the other client code does. I feel the client code should in some fashion move out of the core distribution, or but perhaps it doesn't have to move out of the same SVN server. That's it's probably just a Maven issue with the different modules. But for now, I would like it to live alongside the other clients, because then I know where to look for clients. And we are going to support this, and we do like it. So let's not keep it in some place we don't really know that much about, or that Kai knows, but the rest of us don't.
Yeah. I guess the other pieces. Well, there is Markdown right now, which is fine. I mean, that's the documentation it's written in, which GitHub, I guess, automatically displays for you, which is cool. So that seems fine for docs for now. I mean, just I guess the license file probably wouldn't be necessary. But other than that, it looks like a standard Maven project. I mean, looks like all of our others.
Yes, it is.
The next move, there's a couple next moves on this, but one is importing from Git into the FC repo client package or project. And I guess this would probably be FC repo client CLI to be consistent with the others, right?
Yeah, that's what it already is.
Oh, yeah. I was looking at the name of the project in GitHub, but yeah, that's right. And the other one is like putting a sort of tickler into Jira about folding this into a future release. So it will automatically be part of the source release, but we can put a comment in the README or something that, you know, says this is experimental and people can look at it. But
That has the added advantage that we are discussing a few API changes at the moment, and having the this inside the trunk will ease the changes.
It'll make it more obvious that this needs to change accordingly.
Yeah,
and that, you know.
And it will probably be the responsibility of the person changing the API and not of Kai to update this client.
Yeah.
So, Oscar, so I'm wondering in the future, fitting this in with, you know, the Java client that Oscar has hinted at that he may work on. if that comes along, is that something where we can get some convergence on? I'm looking right now in Kai's Fedora REST client.groovy, and if there's some way that it, like, does it make sense to look ahead to having something like Fedora Common CLI have a dependency on, say, the Java client maybe that Asger develops? Because if we get to something like that where, you know, we've got sort of one client library for people doing all their REST calls, and that sort of narrows down the coverage we need, basically, right? So that, like, when changes happen, say, to an API, it's not like we have, you know, four different places where we need testing and updating, but, like, you know, we can narrow it down sort of to one library. And that makes our tests more compact, and that certainly makes maintenance easier. Yeah. But does that even make sense? Or I don't know in the for Groovy, how this would even work. But
certainly, that would be great if we had a separate client library. I could get rid of all the code dealing with REST. That would be great. Yeah.
The roadmap for the client library, as it is now in my head, it's not been discussed with anybody, is first to extract the client library we have from the Swing client, then make its return values and stuff non-dependent upon the SOAP API, i.e. do not use auto-generated interfaces and return values. And after that, work in a way of having the client library be able to use both SOAP and REST for backend communication.
Okay.
So it's step three. Step four would be making the client library do more advanced stuff than just mirror the API functions.
All right. Well, so I'd say this. I mean, you know, the CLI tool for me then even turns into yet another push for in support of Asker doing this, working on this client library. So I feel like I can kind of envision the fuzzy future of a happy world where all these tools work together.
So can somebody summarize the last 2 minutes for me? I didn't totally space out, but I was typing actions, and it would be good also just to get this logged in the IRC.
Well, for me, where it came from was I was just looking at, you know, the CLI tool. There's like this Fedora REST client, Groovy, and another class I think that uses that, and I was just thinking of the point we made, you know, early on in the call of having test coverage and, you know, having that all sort of incorporated in so that when we do things like make API changes, you know, that catch that, you know, in this other tooling. And so seemed to me, looking at this Fedora REST client, if there was actually a proper Java client library, that would be the sort of thing that, you know, the CLI tool could then use as a dependency. And we sort of narrow the problem space of making updates to all of our clients to one project rather than having two or three different places where we have to make sure we have test coverage and then make updates as well.
That makes a lot of sense to me. So our, you know, our integration tests in JUnit land can still speak pure Java and use that Java client library, but the Groovy stuff can also use it. So we're, you know, we don't have a bunch of client libraries running around that we have to be tweaking all the time.
Yeah. Yeah. I think,
that makes sense. What do you think of that, Kai?
Yeah, I think that's great. So I can drop a lot of code, and the client library is certainly having or not having to have a separate client library is removing a lot of a burden. So I have already, there is already an interface in place for this kind of situation. So it wouldn't actually be too difficult to use another, a different client library for the CLI.
Yeah, okay, I'm just writing that as an action. So that can be entered as a JIRA issue, which I'll take on too, which just references the Groovy client stuff. I mean, and we'll, you know, at least we'll have it logged for now, but that's the intent, is that the Groovy client moves toward toward using the Java REST client as its as its implementation for those interactions. Okay. Was there anything else on that was mentioned there?
I quickly mentioned my idea for the roadmap for the Java client, which is that first I want, depending on what Wick has done, of course, because I know very little about that, but extracting the client from the Swing client as the first point, then as the second point, changing the client interface and return values to not be dependent upon the VSDL, so that it so I will be able to change the backend, which is step three, to support both REST and SOAP.
So the desire is that return codes, the real return codes can be provided from the calls. So if we use auto-generated code, like SOAP code for the client, that becomes more difficult. Well, the SOAP side has never been real good at that.
I want the client to be able to have a number of backends. For the moment, REST and SOAP, but in the future, perhaps other backends as well, but still provide the same interface to the users.
Yeah, that's a great topic. I think we can hit on in the next part of the discussion too.
Yeah.
I'm just going to log what I think you said, but we can expand on that. Eddie, you were about to say something.
Oh, I was just idly wondering, when are we actually ever going to nuke the Swing client?
I think once we get the, well, we've got really a couple things that need to be done, but one is clearly getting the Java client out of that, extracting that out, and making sure the web admin feels more stable, I think, than it is today. 'Cause I remember when we first put that out, there were a couple things people identified that they couldn't quite do.
Okay.
So, you know, there are still people who prefer to use it, but yeah, I'd like to get rid of it as well. Swing code is no fun to keep updated. Yeah, I think those are the big things. Okay, shall we move on to the next part of the discussion? The REST client, or the Java standalone Java client?
I'm ready.
Okay. Looks like Rick's still here. So just to give a little background, we've got an issue that's been standing out there for a while, FC Repo 603. And the intent of this issue was really to have a pure Java client API that people could use in without having to take on all the dependencies of the admin GUI and all that mess. So that's, you know, it's pretty loosely defined, but still, you know, the major goal of not depending on or still distributing a client library that's standalone is there. So we've had Rick has actually worked on a Python Fedora REST client, a Jython Fedora REST client, and I think most recently a pure Java REST client. And the question I'd eventually like to get to in this discussion is if we can use some of the stuff that Rick's done to fulfill what we set out to do for FC Repo 603. But I think maybe first it would be good to get a general description of the stuff, Rick, that you've done. And for people who haven't had a chance to really take a close look yet, I've had a chance to browse through some of the source code and kind of understand the, based on my discussion with Rick, kind of understand some of the design principles employed. But Rick, I think it would be good to have your general description of it.
Okay, so the approach I took was that there is a tiered client structure, and at the base of that structure is a plain Fedora HTTP client that just has get, put, post, and delete methods. It handles the connections, and it handles submitting the requests. And then above that, you can have any number of other more specific clients, a REST client, a SOAP client, or the all-purpose Fedora API client. What I've written is the low-level clients. I've written both a threaded and non-threaded version of that client, and then I've also written a REST API version of the client. And the reason I call it a REST API version is because the calls mimic the ones described in the REST API documentation. So I've also, if you look at the source for the REST client, I've taken a couple ideas that I've gotten from Chris and kind of run with them a little bit, and some other things that are not purely the REST API. For example, if you look at the documentation, there's something called get data stream dissemination. And one of the options is to have a parameter called download that's either true or false. Well, rather than doing that little bit of magic, I created a download data data stream dissemination and a get data stream dissemination methods separately. So you call whichever one you want. If you use the download, you get the proper header setting so that you know, the user's prompted for the to save the data stream as a file, and if you use the regular get data stream, then you get it.
Oh, so that option is an interactive kind of...
It's part of the current API, and when I was trying to figure out how you would write actual calls in AJAX or something to do this, it became incredibly difficult to do it with all these options. So I just kind of made it simpler so that if you want to actually do a download, you just say download data stream dissemination.
Yeah, so...
And that was just one example of how we can sort of extend the existing functionality to do more things easily. I know that's a key feature of what Asker's been proposing in his documents.
So, yeah, in fact, I think some of the design you've done here echoes what Asker was describing a few minutes ago, which was this idea of having sort of an API for the, or a, you know, a Java API whose implementation could be either in SOAP or go against the REST style endpoint. Clearly, you know, you've got HTTP client here, which is kind of a base class. Well, it is the base class for REST client, right?
Well, it's the base class for it can be the base class for any kind of client. I mean, it handles the connections and it handles submitting the requests and it handles the get, post, you know, the things you're going to do. But it doesn't handle the formatting of the URI. You have to pass it your query URI. And what the REST client does is it formats that query URI to pass to the get or post request.
Okay, so you're, let's see. Right, so REST client formulates the correct, based on the parameters you give it, formulates the correct URI.
Right.
HTTP client doesn't formulate URIs itself. It just...
No, it handles the base part of the HTTP request, which is, you know, the Fedora repository part. Mm-hmm. And it does the get, put, post, or delete, and it attaches the query URI that you send to it to the things that it should do.
So
again,
when
all
we...
it handles... Go ahead, Asker.
No, so when we feel the need to do SOAP without fancy SOAP libraries, we could actually do it through the HTTP client if we want to do XML parsing ourselves. Yeah, okay, then it does what I think it does.
Mm-hmm. So, actually, the other question is, for this, is there any reason... I mean, it seems to me when I'm looking at HTTP client, it obviously it's HTTP biased, but it makes me wonder, like, if I were just taking sort of this conventional approach of trying to do subclass of this that whose implementation was actually you know, done with the help of Axis or one of the more modern Java SOAP libraries, I'm not sure where I would start. I guess would I just override all these methods with SOAP based?
You mean you're using something other than org Apache Commons HTTP client?
Yeah. Exactly. So,
I guess so. I mean, we could create an interface class that defines the interface.
That's
right.
Yeah, maybe that's what is missing here in my conceptualization of this is. I don't know. I mean, the way this is written seems to be it's kind of a utility-based class. Like, I mean, you could instantiate it yourself, and work at sort of a low level with different HTTP concepts, but
right.
It's not designed as a generic interface against which you can develop a SOAP implementation or an HTTP, or excuse me, a REST style implementation.
Sure. Why isn't it?
Well,
what's
where
different
are the,
between?
Where are the methods that it's defining as part of the interface, as part of the API? I mean, the public methods on this are all about HTTP, right?
Yes.
So that's, to me, that's an HTTP API. It's not a Fedora API, right? I mean,
it's an HTTP API. It's an HTTP client for a Fedora repository. It handles all the connections for you, handles all creating all the everything you need to send out a request to a Fedora repository. It doesn't care what's in the request.
Right.
Okay, you can subclass this and put a SOAP API on top of it, which uses this internally to connect to the repository. And that's exactly what happens with REST client.
Yeah.
Okay.
I will echo what Chris said. I don't think we can find a web service that wouldn't be able to use this library as its client library. It doesn't seem to in any way be specifically tailored to be a library to Fedora. It's a library to an HTTP server. That's not a bad thing. It just seems to be what it is.
It is. It's an HTTP client, but it is specific to Fedora because if you look at the things, the packet that it creates is specific to Fedora. I mean, it's going and it's using the authentication schemes that Fedora expects. It's using the URL for the base Fedora repository that it expects. It's been pretty well tailored to make an HTTP request of Fedora.
Yeah, I agree with that, Rick. I guess the nuance I was getting at is, I mean, as you stated, this is coupled with some Fedora assumptions. So it is Fedora-ish in that way. The piece I was getting at was what I might expect, you know, thinking about a Fedora client API, is a generic interface. You know, as somebody who wants to use it, I might want like a generic interface that might be implemented under the hood via SOAP or might be implemented under the hood via REST. And that's kind of in our discussion a few days ago, I was kind of hinting at that a little bit, is this gives you the basic tools you need to get sort of the low level communication going with Fedora. And then
you can put any other kind of client on top of it you want.
Right. What you could actually build on top. So even if we go out one level to the SC repo REST client, I mean, that's helping to formulate the URLs to make calls to things and using the correct HTTP verbs, right? to make
it's
the calls.
Using the semantics of the REST API.
It's
the SC repo
for
REST
making
client.
The requests. Yes.
Huh?
For making the requests, it's using the syntax and some of the semantics of the REST API. Right. But then the response is basically an HTTP response. I mean, it's wrapped, but it's got a little some detail about what happened. but it's not like you don't get like an array of data streams from it. You get.
Well, we just set the update. And I mean, if you want to have it have that be what happens, you lose an awful lot of information of what's going on in the request. And if you preclude the person at the other end having the opportunity to examine that request. If it failed, why did it fail? You can't figure it out.
Yeah, you don't necessarily preclude. If that's your only interface, certainly you do preclude. But what I'm talking about is there's some utility that you could build on top of this that gives you the best of both worlds. In other words, you could, you know, you could work with it at a low level and get these various responses as streams, essentially, or strings or whatever, and you could work with it that way. But somebody might also want to work with it using some of the Fedora idioms like data stream as classes. So, like, I can imagine some sort of utility class that takes a response from find objects, for example, and instead of just the XML stream that it returning some sort of structure that's iterable, which allows me to get the PID or get the various fields instead of parsing the XML myself.
Well, again, I talked to you about that the other day. It's all you have to do to get that is just add those things to the HTTP response, the REST response that it returns. If you want to get it as JSON string, then get content as JSON string from the response. It allows you to have the option after. You can get the basic stream that you want, or you can get the stream in any form you want out of the response. It's not a function of the API. It's a function of the response.
So, yeah, understand that I'm going through this thought process for the benefit of people who weren't in that discussion.
Sure.
The next step that we discussed was that, okay, you get these, in some cases you get XML responses from these things. You can specify how you receive it, whether it's in a string or whether it's in an input stream.
You can also specify whether it comes as. Yeah, but you can also specify whether it's HTML or XML. At least those are the options that the REST API gives you.
Right. So in the case where it's XML or even JSON, but in the case where it's a structured response, and most likely XML, if people are working with this stuff with other tools that need to parse it, the one way to deal with those responses is to do kind of what SOAP does, which is to try to wrap them in these big, you know, essentially objects that stand in for those structures, for those data structures. They're kind of custom, you know, custom built. This is like what's in our generated classes package today. Another way of dealing with it that some SOAP libraries use is to throw it into just a structure that's generic, that's easy to go through. So, for example, a hash map or some kind of map that's, you know, a structure that's just easy to do, you know, dot get blah, dot child, dot whatever.
Right. And again, that's a function of the response returning it the way you want it, not the API going out to get it.
I don't agree with that. I don't agree with that. You can say that the API is only about the parameters, not the return value. But I say the API is about the return value, and then we're just stuck there.
In that essence, you're forcing people to get it in some format that they may not find useful by passing it through the response and saying, I want to get it as a hash map, or I want to get it as JSON or whatever. It gives them the opportunity, each person, each implementation, or even in the same application, to ask for it one way in one place and another way in another place.
In that fashion, I understand what you're saying. What I would like was, you have two levels there. You have the HTTP client and you have the REST client. And I would have another level called the Java client doesn't expose the underlying protocol. But given that, it could easily be built on top of your REST client.
Yeah.
Well, see, I guess my point is the response does that part you're talking about, Kai. If you look at the response,
that was Asker.
Oh, I'm sorry, Asker.
Yeah. No.
Sorry.
So the response, I think the point that Asker and I are both getting around to is that sometimes people don't want just a kind of file back from a response. They actually want something that's been deserialized into objects. So a hash is one generic object that can be considered a deserialization of a lot of different kinds of data structures. But
yes.
Another approach is that responses to API commands from a programmer perspective might even come back in a richer structure or a structure that's specific to that kind of format. I mean, such as a data stream class or a response class a find objects response class or something like that. Because, I mean, there are really two levels here that we're talking about. We're talking about the data format of how it's coming back, but there's also the issue of having instances of classes come back that represent.
So we're really talking about another level of abstraction there, right? This is the data model, the object model that sits on top of the API and deals with Fedora in a way that's not aware of any protocols, but it just has an object graph. It deals with an object graph and everything else is abstracted away, right?
Yeah.
So couldn't that be built on top of the API as currently?
Yeah, it seems like it could. So Asker, what's your feeling about clearly a lot of these any XML kind of structure that comes back could always be returned as a map, and that's what some like SOAPy libraries do. But what's your feeling on doing something like that versus doing richer objects like a result kind of object from a field search or a data stream kind of object from a get data stream description or whatever the method is?
I feel that for it to be probably useful for a programmer, he should not have to do parsing himself that probably belongs to Fedora. He should not have to know about the specific encoding that his response has been given in. I find it useful that some layers in the process does this. And I kind of like that we actually have a REST client here. But as I said before in the roadmap I quickly sketched, I would start with building a Java interface, a high-level Java interface, and then move downwards. And apparently Rick started the other way, making a HTTP interface and moving upwards.
No, actually, I started with the REST API interface downwards.
Okay. I would start higher, having an interface similar to the one we have to the Fedora admin client today, the SOAP-based one, but making that independent of the underlying protocol.
So I wonder if there's a design here that we could eventually get to, which kind of exposes the best of both worlds. So what Rick has done is allowed you the ability, as somebody who's writing a client, to really get at what's going over the wire, and, you know, progressively with the layers adds another capability that layer deals with. So, you know, at the base FC Repo HTTP client, it's taking care of some of the basics about where the Fedora repository is located and how the authentication is done. At the next layer, it's taking care of how the parameters are passed over the wire to make the request. And then it seems like another layer could be on top of that, which is, you know, taking care of deserializing the request. But in using this thing as a whole, one might like to look at work with any layer along the way to, you know, either for debugging purposes or, you know, getting the raw response from Fedora. In some cases, if you want to log raw responses, you could do that with this. But you might, as an application developer, rather work with classes that represent the object, so you can do, you know, field accessors and things. So I haven't thought too much about it, but it does seem on the surface that we could come up with a design that kind of gives you the best of both.
So we've had the same problem for the Psyduck, and maybe it would be worth looking at the Psyduck client library, because we do have a high-level abstraction over SOAP and REST. And we're coming from the side that Asuka was describing. We first developed an object model and an API, and then moved down to the protocols. But I think in this case, it could as well be used by building an object layer on top of the API as it is.
Well, is there anything that the work with eSciDoc addressed that might not be addressed here? I mean, is it just the fact that it's an example of a top-down design, or are there things that at the lower level that it does that may be useful that aren't employed here?
At the lower level, I don't think so, because we use GBX for XML mapping. So we don't do any of the parsing ourselves.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's the, I guess, the question of if the eSciDoc code that's doing, or the client libraries are using something else to do the parsing, is it also possible with those libraries to get at the raw responses?
I think for the most part, it isn't.
Okay. So I see that as one nice capability that comes out of this kind of layered approach. But clearly you've put some thought into a higher level API that, you know, and we're talking about the need to make this useful to the general public who don't want to parse responses of having that. So it seems like that could be used as inspiration for taking the next step here.
So the main point was that it was meant to be developer friendly. I think that's in the sense that a developer can just work with with any other library.
Yeah.
So this gives us a starting point. We don't have to do all the work at once, right? I mean, we can start, say, here's the first two layers, and then when people get around to deciding what the other model is, we can give them the better model. But I think this gives what we've got here now as a start, at least, to making it simpler for people to get through all this layers of things.
I think
by simply adding JSON and hash map capabilities to the responses, we at least help them make the next step. And then when you guys figure out what the object models are for the next layer, then you can take that next step.
Yeah, I wonder if maybe an approach here is Asger takes on the task of doing the higher level abstraction and having the API definition such that people can get objects back, and then along the way kind of thinks about under the hood we should have the capability that the implementation can, you know, take advantage of what's already been done here. So, you know, people could choose to work directly at this level or a higher level. I don't know exactly how it could, you know, how it could all plug together. And there might be tweaks here and there that, you know, in the design that maybe something becomes an interface that was written as a class or, you know, things like that. But does that, Asger, does that approach sound reasonable of sort of maybe in your thinking about this, starting at the higher level, but with a...
Yes, it sounds reasonable to me. The existence of this REST library just alleviates some work I would otherwise have to do at some point. It is the developer-friendly interface that I consider the most important, but that is probably not the most time-consuming because we already have the SOAP interface to build it from. Just have to divorce it, even if they're alike. This would be the most time-consuming, and now it's basically done already.
Yeah. So, and certainly in looking at it, there will probably be things that, you know, gee, if this was tweaked one way, that would make it easier for me to deal with. So just maybe as a process here, thinking about how this could play out is, Asger, like you could start defining that interface in trunk or in the main code base, and possibly, you know, when it comes time to actually get down to these levels of actual implementation, then we could figure out how to port this or how to copy this over from Incubator. And, you know, I don't know, Rick, if you've got a lot of time to continue these kinds of discussions, but it would certainly be helpful if along the way, we could have...
Do you want me to continue working on this or not, I guess? It's up to you guys. If you don't want me to do it, that's okay.
I get the sense that this is in a state where it could be usefully employed.
It can be useful right now, today.
Right. But I think what we ultimately want is also something that's capable of doing the higher level, the higher level objects. So
I disagree with that.
What I'm suggesting is that Asger take the lead on that, on defining the higher level interfaces, and keep in mind in the implementation that this can be used. So at the end, what we have is something we can roll into a Fedora release, which provides you with the ability to work either at the high level or, you know, one of these levels down. So I guess my sense of, you know, do you continue working on this is it would be really helpful if you could be available to certainly for Asger to talk about any issues he comes up with in trying to put this under what he's tasked to do. You know, but in terms of what you've done so far, I mean, it's basically complete at the level that you've defined, right?
There's still a little more work to do, but yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, so we keep it in the incubator area for now, and at some point in the future, when Asger gets far enough in his process where an implementation is needed to help out, then, you know, we make that decision to go ahead and roll it into Trunk. But I think along the way, we'll obviously need to be in touch if things, you know, as he's going through it, if things look a little funky or whatever. I mean, when it becomes part of the main code base, it becomes sort of community property. So everybody needs to be able to make tweaks to it.
Again, I don't care about that. I just want to know, you know, how far you want me to go.
I think finishing this, if there's areas which are functionally incomplete here, and certainly if Asger has anything in his process of doing this that he wants, I don't know. Asger?
Now, I've just opened up the project in my development environment, and it's not compiling at all, and most of it is underlined with. That's partly because the POM file doesn't specify where to get HTTP client from. Aside from that, there are some syntax problems that this. So probably just because you have a newer commit, a newer version on your disk than is committed to the incubator.
Probably.
Yeah, that's probably it, because but I just want to get a feel of. It seems to be complete as it is now. It really does. I couldn't think of. I was going to ask, why don't we use HTTP client? But you do. You do use HTTP client. So,
Rick, can you describe the difference between multi-threaded and non-multi-threaded? Not in general, please. but what the for FC repo client? I mean, you have threaded HTTP client. And I was just curious. What if I don't use that? Is there some assumption that there's no ability to call this API concurrently, or?
What the threaded HTTP client is, it spawns a separate thread for each request. And so when the response comes back, that response doesn't interfere with anything else that's going on in the other threads. Whereas, you know, the simple HTTP client that comes out of Org Apache HTTP client isn't threaded at all. And so every request waits for every other request to finish. Which is okay in some situations, but if you're in a server type situation where you're not, where you need asynchronous response, then you want the other kind of.
Yeah.
Okay. So, I mean, the difference really is one is based on HTTP client. The other one is based on the multi-threaded HTTP connection manager.
So here's a question. What's the downside of just making the default implementation multi-threaded? I mean, that's kind of where Fedora today uses Commons HTTP client. We do use a I think the
actually the one the client that's out there now isn't.
Oh, it's not.
No, it's not multi-thread. So it's strictly single-threaded.
Which current client is this?
Are you talking about Fedora client?
Fedora
Java?
Client, the one I originally grabbed out of the source was not multi-threaded.
And I'm not sure.
I never knew we had a client.
I'm sorry, what?
I never knew we had a REST client.
You don't have a REST client, but there is a Fedora client.
Yeah, the Fedora client class. I'll paste the URL. This is the thing we're trying to replace. pasting the URL to the source real quick, just so we can take a look. Okay, so we have, if you look at line 107, there's multi-threaded HTTP connection manager. And I think that's the one that's used to get clients.
I got the initial client from Bill, and the one he sent me to was not multi-threaded. So I went out and found a multi-threaded client and patch this up. But I guess the point is that if you look at the REST client, one of the argument to the commit to the constructor is what's the base client that you want to use. Okay?
Yeah.
And it can be either multi-threaded or not.
Yeah.
Okay?
And
so,
I'm trying to figure out, the more code we have, the more maintenance costs there is. So I'm always trying to figure out where we can reduce the amount of code. So what I'm trying to figure out is what's the advantage of using the non-multi-threaded capable one? Is there any reason I would use that over the multi-threaded one?
Yeah, you don't have to worry about closing all the threads when you're done looking at a stream.
But that's still a back-end issue.
Right.
Not something the user should worry about.
Yeah. Okay. So, yeah, I don't want to get too hung up in that discussion, but yeah. I mean,
the difference in the number of lines of code between all the functionality really is the same. There's maybe 50 lines of code to maintain different. I mean, the threaded HTTP client is a subclass of the non-threaded one, and all it does is replace how it achieves the connection and creates the client.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
not overhead.
Yeah, maybe I need to understand a little bit more about it in order to resolve that question totally. But as long as, we're comfortable with just if we come down the line and we're like, well, no, there's really no valid reason for that with any of these things. I mean, as we're going through the code and looking at things, as long as we can change assumptions down the road, then uncomfortable. So as this thing exists in Incubator, I think Rick should be considered the main maintainer until such time that we want to sort of roll it into the implementation of the higher level client. Does that make sense?
It makes sense,
I guess,
for me,
I was just going to say, unless there's some reason, there's nothing preventing Asger from making changes in here. I would just assume, you'd keep in touch on if, as you're making Rick's code work, If anything needs changes, that's obvious, you know, should definitely be in touch on those things. So, but I guess once it becomes part of Trunk, it becomes bigger, you know, there's the bigger group that's headed to maintain it. But for now, I guess what I'm assuming is Asker and Rick are the main workers on this. And the split is, you know, Rick's doing the work in Incubator, which sounds like there may be some minor things that need finishing up. But it's mostly ready. Sorry, what were you going to say, Asker?
I would just say that sounds good to me, because then I can start with just using the Fedora client, the SOAP client, for now. And when I've extracted that, as was actually the original goal, I could draw this in as an alternative backend. So Rick would be given a little time to finish it up, and we would put it in Trunk once it's finished up. It's a good split, and while I find his code interesting, would like to look at it. I feel that while it's in the incubator, it's his code, and I should not touch it. And yeah.
So, in terms of using Fedora client, you're just saying, as you know, proving out some of the higher level stuff. But ultimately, the goal is to get rid of Fedora client, right? I mean, this is a first step which gets us out of the issue of having it intertwined with the admin GUI. But
Didn't want to get rid of it. You didn't leave, did you, Chris?
No.
No, it just odd beep. I didn't want to get rid of it. I wanted to move it out of the admin GUI and have it as a separate library. But I would still call it Fedora client or Fedora Java client, because that's what it is.
There are people dependent upon it being pretty similar to the way it is right now.
So we're probably
just moved out separate. Yeah. Would be a good first step.
Mm. And having it moved out separate is probably doable in 3.4. And having the interface, I wouldn't want to... I would like to give an alternative interface to it in 3.4, but I wouldn't remove the old interface that is heavily SOAP dependent, because people are dependent on it.
So from a timing perspective, probably the roll-in of this incubator stuff would happen after the 3.4, but the initial implementation would be based on Fedora client, just because we need that anyway for the time being.
Yeah.
That's what you're saying. Okay.
Yeah. Alternatively, it could be one of these things that has an asynchronous release.
Yeah. Are we all clear that having... ultimately, having the stuff that Rick's done is actually better than having Fedora client? I mean, is that generally agreed upon, that we actually migrate to using that? Or
I think that the programmer should be given a choice of what backend he wants to use through some parameter to Fedora client.
Yeah, I guess the more... I come from a perspective where in theory, always having more choices is nice, but there's always a maintenance cost too. And so if there's no functional difference, then the only difference in my mind, or if, you know, from the end user perspective, if there's no reason they would choose one over the other, the only difference in my mind is how much maintenance we have to do. And you know how hard that is.
Yeah. To decide that the client should not be capable of doing SOAP on the back end is the first step to saying we should not expose the SOAP API. Because if we don't want to maintain a client for it, because they should be functionally equivalent. I have difficulty seeing why we would want to even put out a SOAP API. It's more maintenance.
Yeah.
But if the client front end does not actually reflect what back end it uses, it might not matter. But if the Fedora client should be able to let you get at the raw messages going back and forth, I don't know really.
So, would you say then that you see an advantage in being able to get at the raw messages that are going back and forth, or?
Rarely. Do you need to get at the raw messages without having them thrown at you in an exception? But if you should be able to do that in REST to figure out what went wrong, you should be able to get at them in SOAP also to figure out what went wrong.
Yeah, I guess I was thinking.
Hey, this is Rick.
Oh, you got disconnected.
Guys, I gotta go. Verizon.
Bye.
Oh.
Blew me away.
Yeah. Bye, Kai. I think Kai just logged off.
I've got to drop off too. I've got another call.
All right. So we were just talking about eventually what would be the advantage of using the code, Rick, that you've developed over using Fedora client underneath this higher level client. And I guess one of the advantages I was thinking of was the ability to actually access things at a lower level. I mean, to be able to see, you know, both like things like HTTP response codes, and potentially to be able to, you know, look at the raw XML that came back. Whereas the sort of conventional approach is where people hide those details from you can make life difficult in certain situations.
Well, there's also situations where people actually want the XML or the HTML, and they're going to put it in to something exactly as it comes back. Or they've got XSL transforms that deal with the XML to do what they want with it. Can't preclude them from having that ability.
Yeah. Well, there's also because you have the ability to interact with the repository at really any endpoint with any HTTP verb, just making the assumptions of where the endpoint of the repository are and, you know, the authentication stuff, strikes me that doing all the, you know, having disseminators. Ultimately, we want to be in a situation where disseminators can support any HTTP verb and things like that. So we're not going to be able to write, you know, all these different deserializers for everything people could think of, but it would be useful if we could provide them with a client that said, you know, that at least took care of some of the base assumptions of where Fedora is and things, so they could invoke those disseminators.
And by that very same logic, the get dissemination methods, they're going to want to be able to get whatever the bare content is. I mean, they've obviously built a dissemination to create something that they're interested in. So they want you to devolve that into some other thing, perhaps.
Yeah.
Or, I mean, necessarily. You know, there are occasions when they might want that, where they might want some kind of a, quote, dissemination object. But anyway.
Well, we're coming up to our limit here on the call. I want to make sure that we continue this thread, and I think it will take some time, obviously, to get the there, you know, several steps in our process in terms of getting Fedora Client out of the administrative GUI. But I'm feeling like in the last few minutes, we've been talking a little bit about, you know, what the value of swapping this in for Fedora Client is, and I don't know that that's completely resolved. So I want to continue the discussion, but either way, folding this in is a longer term proposition. I mean, it would be a post 3.4 kind of item, is what it sounds like.
I didn't think it was going to be in 3.4.
Yeah. So should we, I mean, we could just sort of play it by ear as long as you're, you know, intend to be around and available as Asger gets further with defining the higher level interfaces, then, you know,
well,
maybe we could.
Yeah, I mean, I'm submitting this, so I'm going to support it. Okay.
Yeah. Yep.
It doesn't matter what happens to me in the future, as far as that goes. If I submit this, I'll support this.
Yeah.
If you send me a link to, I haven't been able to find this SOAP client that's hooked into the admin GUI thing that you keep talking about. So,
well,
if you can send me a link to where that is, I'll look at it.
Yeah, I'll just tell you because it's in Fedora Client. If you call, there's two methods on there. One is getAPIA, and the other is getAPIM, and those both give you the SOAP interfaces for Fedora. So, I mean, that's where the hook point
Where's
is.
Where's the code?
The code is auto-generated, most of it, from WSDL as part of the build process. So if you look at the interfaces that are being returned from those methods, those interfaces are actually not persisted anywhere in the code base because they're auto-generated from WSDL.
Oh, that's interesting.
That's an interesting design, and it, one of the interesting effects is that it's impossible to put documentation in the interfaces.
Yeah, it's true.
And I bet it's pretty fun to debug.
Oh, it's a joy.
Yeah,
absolutely.
So how does one find out? So I guess I can go to the SOAP APIM documentation and figure out what these things are supposed to do. How would I go and say create a FC repo HTTP SOAP client?
Along the lines of your, well, I guess,
yeah.
I would look at the interfaces in the Java docs. I mean, just for the base, to figure out the base signatures. And as Asger mentioned, the signatures of the Java interfaces, like the names of the methods and the parameters, the return values. But as Asger mentioned, because it's auto-generated, it doesn't give you an opportunity to include the verbal documentation as part of the Java interface. So if you look at the Java docs, they'll be empty. So you have to cross-reference that with the SOAP API documentation on the wiki, really, to understand it. And that's written really from a generic standpoint, but that's where the documentation for those methods are.
Okay. SOAP and API AM stub, is that what I'm looking at? As far as the Java doc?
Let me get you the let me shoot a URL. Are you on IRC?
No. I'm on Skype.
Yeah. Okay. So for these calls, we typically do IRC for being able to copy and paste just so it gets logged. But I'm gonna send you via Skype the URL to the Java docs that I'm talking about.
Well, it's a Fedora Commons Documentation 3.3 Java docs, right?
Yeah, if you click on Java docs and then you
that's where I am.
Go down. Okay, then there's fedora.server.management. And then there's an interface there called Fedora APIM.
Okay. I see it. Yep.
That's auto-generated. And then there's a similar one at access/fedoraapia.html.
Wait, okay. Access dot...
Yeah. Fedora server.access... And then there's one called Fedora APIA. You got that?
Oh, that's interesting. I found it.
Okay. So then you would take those and cross-reference them with the documentation on the wiki, which talks about the APIA and APIM SOAP interfaces. Which is probably APIM. Let's see.
Yeah, so what I'm looking for is what is the string I'm going to compile? What is the string I'm going to put together to do this? And I'm not seeing it.
You're not familiar with SOAP. I thought you were.
No, unfortunately. It's cost me many a job.
Okay, point one. Nobody is doing SOAP the way you intend to do it now, but I could show you how to do it. I just naturally assumed that. First, we need to get the VSDL. Those are in Chris. You have a link to the VSDL. Couldn't you paste it?
I could. I'm gonna post these a couple links to the IRC just so we have a log of this discussion. But let's see. So what I just posted, which now I'm gonna paste over to Rick via Skype, are a couple links to the actual documentation for these Java interfaces, which are written in terms of SOAP SOAP constructs. So now there's also the each of those pages there at the bottom. Those links will only work if you are have a Fedora running locally. Let me
link to
Fedora Commons.org/ what is it? Definitions.
Yeah, I've looked at both. I've looked at both the APIM and the APIA in Confluence.
Yeah. Okay. But the files that those come from, or the so that's the documentation, but the code or the files that are actually written to generate the Java code are these two, which I'll paste to you in a second. These are just online copies, but they come with the distribution. So normally when people hook up their clients or they write code, they go against a lot of people go against real HTTP URLs of their local system. Asker's writing on the IRC as well here.
Yeah, we could just paste it on to him or something.
Yeah.
Or could we have some sort of group chat so I can follow this? I don't have Rick in my contact list because it's a conference call. So.
Well, actually, you should probably hook up via Skype. Just get your contacts going. Rick, what's your Skype ID? I can look it
Texas
up, I guess.
Texas.rick.moore.
Okay, I'm typing that to the... to the IRC, just so you're hooked up. But I'd suggest, actually, if we have typing discussions, that we try to keep them to the IRC so it gets logged, so we can go back and look at it later. But Rick, it's actually fairly easy to log into IRC from the web. If you go to the agenda page, there's a link there. Somebody's actually done a web interface to IRC, and so if you click that, join the DuraSpace chat room on Freenode, that'll bring up a web page that's...
That open up a window in...
Firefox, yeah. Or, you know, or if you're using a... You know,
this is join DuraSpace chat room via Freenode?
Is yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So webchat.freenode.net, and then you should be able to just enter the DuraSpace as the channel, but whatever nickname you want.
What's #DuraSpace?
#DuraSpace.
Auth2 services has got a...
You can authenticate if you set up an account, but you don't have to.
Okay.
So I wouldn't bother with it for now.
Okay.
You can just...
I'm there.
Enter anything. Okay. So now subsequent messages, you should be able to see.
I'm just pasting my... it came in one line.
Oh, well. I pasted it, too. So now that we got that worked out... So those are some of the basics and how the SOAP stuff works. We certainly have people out there today who are using SOAP, who rely on the SOAP interfaces to work with Fedora. The issue, though, I think that Asger was alluding to was because SOAP clients are actually auto-generatable, it doesn't make that much sense for us, as long as we consider the REST API functionally capable of doing everything that the SOAP API does. It doesn't make a lot of sense for us to try to distribute something that does both, because there's no reason one would choose one over the other if you're using a Java client anyway, and we've got all this stuff taken care of for you. I don't know.
But
if
the one reason that still exists there is and a lot of other people, when they first started using SOAP and Fedora, took a look at that client, and it was kind of the beginning example. It sounds like a more of a training tool than a use tool. But I did use it a lot for hooking up tests because that was really nice and easy.
So having documentation on how you could produce a SOAP client is one thing. And actually, I mean, if we've got an API that does, if we're publishing an API that is SOAP, and we expect it to work, we should be able to test that API. So in integration tests. So I guess that's another argument for keeping something around that is doing SOAP.
Yeah. But getting it off to the side as just a utility and out of the main packaging is would be very, very helpful.
So I need to go pretty soon. I think we should endeavor to wrap this up pretty quickly. Unless you guys can obviously continue if you've got time and want to.
I've got to get going too. So I imagine Asger's probably starving by now.
I'm getting hungry, yes.
Okay. Rick, were you going to say something else?
Give me a chance to... Yeah, just give me a chance to go through this soap stuff for a while and see. And then before I do anything, I'll get back with you and ask her. Okay. And I will look at my code and try to find out what the problems that Asger's having with syntax and all are, and see if I've got the latest checked in or not, and then I'll check it in. You guys can look for the...
Okay. And we could continue. We could certainly call on another official special topics meeting if Asger, you feel like we're ready to do that at some point in the future. So continue the discussion, or just, for these little things, we'll just keep track of what you're up to in Subversion, Rick, and follow along. But I assume, we've got some more little higher level discussions to have too about eventually.
I certainly would like to get a better idea of what you and Asker are envisioning of this next level up API. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Okay, well, anything else for now, Asker? You want to?
No, I know what I'm going to do now, so.
Okay.
And Wick, if you're still on the IRC, I'm just going to paste you the first syntax problem I have, so you know where to start. Just have to find the window. Is that the graph? What, damn it, where did I put my IRC client? Not in this. There. This thingy, which is at line view line, it's at damn it, lost it again.
Oh.
Um, 821 in the REST client.
Let me look and see what I got here.
There's mismatches with your parentheses, what they're called.
Yeah.
Which break everything below that, and that breaks everything.
Rick, your compiler should pick that up if maybe your local copy isn't checked in or whatever, but.
Mm.
No, this is a last minute late, and it's a problem.
Okay.
I did a last minute change last night before I checked it in, and didn't run it through IdeaJ and all the, all that IntelliJ and do all that stuff. Just trying to get it in there. But basically, that there's an extra. There's a close bracket before the return. Just delete that line.
Also, line 816, you're ending the method declaration with a close bracket.
What?
Look at line 816.
Um, Oh, jeez. Yeah, you're right. It's probably going to be...
So it looks like, I mean, if they're clearly, maybe there are functional issues too, but here we're just talking about syntactic compiler catchable things.
Yeah.
So
yeah, this is, can this probably is just working late at night.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You could probably just try a build and get all these too. I mean,
Just build yourself if you're finding them.
Yeah. I'll find it.
Cool. Well, I'm going to leave. I don't know about you guys, but I got to go. So thanks a lot for the discussion and look forward to more.
I'm leaving too. I'm hungry. All right. So see ya.
All right. Yeah. Okay. Thanks, guys.
Bye.
Bye.
The moderator has disconnected.